It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, we are at many different locations this morning because of the situation that has arisen in our country. But we've got Janet Manco on the live line. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And in the orifice is Cynthia Hoswinder. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. And for people who are new to the area, which I feel like we have a lot, Janet is the publisher and editor-in-chief, and I am the executive editor of the Lakeville Journal. And our company has two newspapers, the Lakeville Journal and the Millerton News.
There you go, for people that have arrived in our area.
And who are...
hopefully 3 weeks ago or more.
Yeah, right.
But
15
anyway,
days.
Yes. Anyway, well...
But no.
we'll go right to the front page, and we'll start off with a devastating story for anybody that knows the Cohen family or anybody that knows students in Region 1. And Denise's son, Shay, passed away in a car crash over the past week.
Right, a horrible story. And, of course, Denise Cohen knows many, many people from her work doing mortgages, which is how I first met her. Falls Village Board of Finance member for many years and very active leader of the Little Guild of St. Francis in Cornwall for many years and the mother of two daughters, Grace and Emma, and their son, Shay, who was with... a friend and who's also 16, and the older sister of his friend and her friend, who were both 20, and they got into a crash head-on, or saw, I think the pickup hit them in the side as they were crossing over Route 44 in North Canaan. And the three other kids had to go to the hospital but were released, but Shay had to be extricated and died at the hospital. So very, very sad story, and obviously enough tragedy right now, this only just makes it worse.
Absolutely. And coming up on Saturday, by the way, there's going to be a parade of cars that are going to leave Housatonic Valley Regional High School and come up through Falls Village beginning about 9:30 or so. Everybody's instructed to stay in their cars, not get out. And it's just a way to pass along and show the support that the general public has for the Cohen family. We'll be filming it so people can see it at a later date, and also giving a copy to the Cohen family, because right now they can't have a proper service as of yet because of the situation we're in.
And everybody should play Billy Joel's song, The Piano Man, in their cars while they're driving.
That's it. I was asked if I could play it on the radio, and I said I can't because I've been asked to actually be there and film it. But and I said the easiest way is to put an MP3 stick in your player in the car, open up your window, and play it as you drive by. And that is going to happen on Saturday. All right.
Wait, did you say what time?
Well, they're going to meet at the high school in between 9:15 and 9:30 and then head up towards Falls Village, down the Warren Turnpike, and then up past the Main Street, and...
the center on Main.
Yeah, and it should, depending on how many cars there, which might take 30 minutes, it might take an hour, who knows. But I know a lot of people want to express their sympathies, and this is the way that they're going to do it. So, all right, from that...
Can I throw in a side note on that, which is we have very few obituaries right now, which will optimistically think means nobody's dying, but I think that a lot of it is families are just not really able to meet with the funeral directors right now. But so next week, we're trying as much as possible to put little service items in for people who are either part-timers and maybe don't know these things, or full-timers and never needed to know, or people who are new here. But we're putting a listing of the local funeral homes in next week's paper, but
and most
no
of the
funerals right now.
Well, most of the gatherings in Connecticut are five people or less now, or 10 people or less.
Are they not limited to two?
What?
He didn't go down to two?
No.
Okay.
So, it's a trying time for everybody. A lot of different ways with what's going on, and we'll probably go on for at least another month. We'll go to the story that Patrick Sullivan did, with, of course, the complications that come with the budget process. It's going to be a very strange budget season.
It's already a very strange budget season, and again, I'm going to try to just throw in little notes for people who are new here, but. Right now, we're preparing our budgets, which have to be turned into the state before, I think, May. And the deadline for turning in the budgets has been extended. And a lot of the towns are now having their meetings on Zoom. It's sort of the new reality for our town officials, who are, for the most part, volunteers. And we have education budgets and municipal budgets in all our towns. And there are discrepancies between some of the budgets that the towns are coming with and then the shared regional school budget. So that's a lot about what this article is about, is Sam Herrick, who is the super competent business manager for the Region 1 school district, which is 6 elementary schools and 1 shared high school, is trying to reconcile everybody's numbers.
All right. Now I'm going to slide down a little bit here. We've got the head of Sharon Hospital coming in here early next week, live on the air with us. But you have a story by my good old friend, or she's not an old friend, we've just been friends for a long time, Ann Longley. I always want to qualify that when I say that,
right.
With Dr. Mark Herko.
The wonderful Ann Longley, a super talented writer who started her career, like many people from the region did, at the Lakeville Journal and went on to a career in big-time New York City publishing, and was kind enough to contact us when she heard what was going on and said, I'd like to write for you and support you. Her sister works in the ER at Sharon Hospital, but she really stuck with, for this article, an interview with Dr. Herko, Mark Herko, who is the new head of Sharon Hospital, and boy, what a time to start as the head of a hospital. And kind of just a recounting of steps that initially that he took to make sure that the hospital is as ready as it can be. And I'm going to throw out a story that we're working on now that we'll post on the website as soon as we have it. But Sharon Healthcare Center is being possibly designated as a COVID-19 positive facility for nursing home residents. They decided to segregate the nursing home residents who have tested positive. And so there had been already one case that was positive. She seemed to be handling it pretty well. She didn't have to be sent to the hospital. But it does seem like if you're looking for a healthcare center to segregate people who are COVID-19, nice to have one that's across the street from a small hospital that can be set aside. So we're talking to Tim Brown, who represents Sharon Healthcare Center, actually at 9:30 today. So we'll have that up on our website as soon as we have information.
Yeah, we mentioned that yesterday and put it on the air. And what it is right now is it's a proposal from the state. They went to different companies, and one of the companies that came forward is a company that owns healthcare centers for seniors, and mentioned that they have 2 locations, and one of them Sharon Hospital. So there's telephone numbers also online that you can get. If you have any questions or comments, you can find the story once again on our Facebook page. And there's telephone numbers that Brent Colley has supplied us where you can call and actually speak to people. And I've done it. They actually pick up the phone and answer your questions very politely. So if you've got any questions or concerns, look for that number and call, as I said, because they will answer the call and they will speak to you if you have any questions about it.
Be polite to them, too.
That's one of the things I've got in there. Be calm and be polite, because it's a tough time for everybody. With that being said, I want to go up to the top of the page for you, Janet. And once again, in this very, very strange time, there's going to be changes to your delivery mode.
That's right, because, you know, we want to continue to publish, but we are very aware of the fact that we're sending our drivers out, going to many different outlets that are generally open, but certainly not as busy as they might have been. So in order to protect both our drivers and the people they're meeting with, and having less face-to-face as, you know,
as possible, yeah,
as we can, right. So we're continuing to do subscriptions, and the post office will deliver them. And we will deliver to the largest outlets in each individual town, and we'll see how that goes. If we sell out this week, we'll see if those outlets might take more, or another outlet might be willing to take, you know, some too, and we'll keep you alerted as to where the print papers are. But, of course, it'll also be up online.
We, you know, it affects us in a similar way. We had somebody who is starring in a Netflix series come by because they wanted to do a taping session that could be directed to New York, and we had to tell them that the only way we could do it is sitting in your car. And before we even did that, you'd have to show us that you've had a test for the COVID-19 and that you're not, you know, that you're not exposed. And they understood, but it said, you know, we're in the type of these strange, tough times, not only for the Lakeville Journal and for us, but for every business in our area.
Well, for every business, and so many businesses have just had to close, or their business, you know, say for restaurants are doing takeout only, their business has diminished to a trickle or, you know, a fraction of what it was, and so it becomes harder and harder to function. And we are among those businesses that are listed as essential by the state, and we want to keep going for our readers, and I feel strongly that our editorial staff, Cynthia and Whitney Joseph over in Millerton, and all of our editorial staff are doing a great job pulling together information for our readers, and we want it to be there, but we don't want to put anyone at risk while we're doing it, and we don't want to put any further stress on business owners who are already struggling and having such challenges.
And you're doing something that we're doing. We are paying everybody completely at the Bargain Barn and in here. We are absorbing that hit because they're our friends and neighbors, and they work hard for us.
Right. And, you know, we don't know how long we'll be able to continue that or how long this will continue, but we're very committed to it. And we're actually in the process of getting in the queue to apply for one of the small business loans that, you know, are available through the federal stimulus package. We'll see what happens with that.
All right. I want to go on to another story, which is actually part two, The Millerton Doctor, The Second Plague in One Career in a Lifetime. And the reason it's part two is because you reveal the results of the COVID-19 test.
Well, we had originally reached out to Dr. Christy Schmidt in Millerton because we knew that she had, to a large degree, her early career as a young doctor in New York City was spent helping in the HIV/AIDS early crisis years, and that it was a very important part of her life and her work. And so we had called her to interview her about that, and it turned out that she was having fever symptoms and had quarantined herself and was seeing her patients only by telemed and had taken the test and was waiting for the results. So that article was a lot about the testing and about more immediate things. This second article is what we had actually intended to call her about, which is her early years in really on the front lines of the HIV/AIDS crisis in New York City. But it turns out that her test came up negative, but she said something which I think people are starting to realize now is that the test is not 100% accurate. So she said, well, I tested negative, but there's a 50 to 80% chance that I am positive, but it just didn't show up on the test. So I think that statistically, it's still important if you think that you have it to go and try and get that test, because that way we have the most accurate numbers and they can really sort of see how widespread COVID-19 is. Nonetheless, if you're feeling symptoms, you should still quarantine. But a really interesting article about a very interesting woman, Christy Schmidt, really a crusading personality and a very beloved doctor, and is seeing her patients by telemed. And next week for the paper, we have an article on how to find a primary care physician or a nurse practitioner up here, which is not an easy task, even in the best of times. But we have information on how to go to the NuVance/HealthQuest website and find doctors, and also how to go to the Hartford Healthcare website and find people. And we talk about which towns are a reasonable driving distance. And, of course, with telemed, it's possible to have a visit with a doctor who's not that close by.
All right. Now, an article that there's been some controversy throughout the tri-state region about people coming to our area and fleeing metropolitan areas, some of it horrible, some of it reasonable. But there's no doubt about it that rentals, according to your story, Cynthia, really have gone fast.
There apparently is nothing left available. And I think that people can't really even do Airbnb where you're sharing a room in a house, because people really do need to quarantine. As Governor Cuomo said, these are not helpful hints. You really actually have to do it. So we had spoken to Ira Goldspiel actually 2 weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, I'm just standing here with my phone and people are calling up and taking things sight unseen. Everything is going. And we had run out of space in the print edition, we ran that online, and so many people have been emailing me and saying, did you know that there's a lot of rentals that are going really fast? So we ran the beginning of this article and did something that we're going to be doing more and more, which is the paper's very small. We don't have a lot of ads right now. There's a lot of information we're trying to share. Some of these articles we're going to start on in the print edition and jump to online. So you can find this entire article online. And we also have an interview coming up next week with Graham Clem and John Harney Jr. talking about the potential or whether some of these rentals will turn into sales, which would, you know, be a good thing. But also, both of them talking about similarities to 2001 after the 9/11 attacks, when there was a similar rush to people to come up here and take part-time property.
All right. And you also have a story, which we have already applied for our assistance. The state is measuring help to small businesses. One of the great things about the stimulus package is that the SBA loans will be handled locally by local banks, which are going to is going to cut down the processing time immeasurably.
Yes, and so again, Jan is swimming through this process right now.
They're trying
to make it as easy as they can.
And sometimes you have to do the backstroke. I can tell you that because
it's hard for the banks. They have their regular staffing, yeah. And the challenge is that COVID-19 give them too, but they've been inundated, of course, with requests for help, and they're still looking at the requirements and regulations themselves to be sure they have it straight.
Now, one of the great stories to come out of this is the number of masks that have been made by volunteers, and participating in that are the couple that run Lakeville Interiors. It's just a terrific story.
Yeah, really wonderful young women, and have really stuck with that store for a long time. It's the Lakeville Interior Design, I think it's called, and they're over Lakeville Interiors. They're over in the old the ruler factory, I guess it was, the old slide rule factory that Kukul and Esser in Lakeville, right next to Factory Pond. And it's two sisters and have had a nice little business going. They both have young children. And they realized that they had a lot of high-quality fabric in the shop, and they had excellent sewing machines and sewing skills. So they've marshaled together, as you said, about 125 volunteers. There's also a team working down in Kent, and they had sent it out to medical professionals to see if the masks were a good design, and they adapted the design, and they've got them going out. I think they're making a couple hundred a day, and a lot of people are volunteering, and I think everybody wants to help right now, and so we have a group down, as you said, in Kent. Jane Zatlin and her group are working also, and a lot of hospitals all over the country, even out in California, are taking these masks, which, as you said, they're not perfect, but
they're better than nothing. They're better than nothing.
And especially if you're, going to the grocery store and you want something. Like, I'm going out with a scarf tied around my face every time I go out, but certainly this would be better. So it'd be nice, as you said, it's a nice story, and maybe this will turn into a great, business for them moving forward. But also, in terms of people wanting to help, we have a story on A2. We're going to be trying to run these stories every week, health service stories. A lot of people have said to me, I want to help. What can I do to help? So we're starting to keep lists where we can of ways that you can help. Red Cross blood drives, there's a critical shortage right now, so do keep an eye on possibilities for donating blood, and we've got a list of three, including one today in Salisbury, the Congregational Church, and they're doing everything they can to make it as safe as process as possible.
And looking through the interior pages, lots of stories how the school districts and the towns are dealing with budgets and meetings, all relating to the COVID-19 situation that we're in, and Zoom has become the word of the day.
Holy smokes, right? Who knew what Zoom was 2 weeks ago? Now I think I do two Zoom meetings a day. My reporters love it because they don't have to be driving the many, many miles that I'm covering our meetings requires at night. But, it's interesting for people in the regular public. You have to really pay attention. And the town of Kent has been good about giving instructions on how to sign in for a Zoom meeting. It's actually not that complicated. The instructions always look more complicated than they are. But if you're interested in your budget process, do check in on that. And your towns should be posting their minutes online, so you can check in on that as well.
And it's kind of fun when you watch it, because as the different members of different commissions get used to being on video, it was somebody during the Sharon Board of Finance meeting who was having a glass of wine while they were sitting at home at the meeting. It's just, but you know what? It's a great way to get the word out. We've been familiar with Zoom. We've had it at station for a while, but it's a very easy thing to hook up with meetings, and it keeps you informed that way.
And we had a meeting with somebody who was wearing a bathrobe that was, open to show no shirt, and I thought, people do need to think maybe about their putting a little makeup on, brush your hair.
That's right. Let's go to the editorial page. And once again, you have the split editorial, the challenges only increase, and the specific challenges for local community journalism.
Right. We want to keep our readers informed of what we're doing, which we have the box on the front page talking about, and greater detail on the editorial page. And the challenges only increase. We just wanted to make the comment that so many people are putting themselves on the front lines of this pandemic, and there have been so many references made to previous times in history where similar things have happened and people have come to the fore and, overcome the challenges. One of those references it to 9/11, and the one thing that seems to be the case that we would see as similar in these two situations is that our best and brightest are on these front lines and putting themselves at risk to take care of their fellow citizens and their patients, and they're just as admirable as anyone could be, and we think of all of them who are putting themselves at risk and on the line to help others.
It's amazing for everything from the people that work in the supermarkets to the people that work at our post office that are out there handling things every day. God bless them is all you can
say. That's right, and the post offices are important to what we continue to do. So, as long as the post office is delivering as they're delivering, we'll be out there with our subscriptions, but anything changes there, we won't. And I will do a call out for our drivers once again, because they are out there. They are they are very willing to be out there for the public and delivering everywhere we want them to go. And of course, this week still did the full run. And so,
and just like the voting just now.
Yeah.
All right. We've got about 2 minutes left. I like the, once again, Peter Steiner cartoon. The president wants to move Easter to June. That says it all, really, basically.
It does, and the visual does, too. So, yes. Matter of fact, you guys discussing it. And a good letter from the selectmen in Salisbury talking about their message for COVID-19.
And Compass, who wants to go over Compass?
Very quickly, Noel Amber, who's such a great writer, and again, has been very generous with his time. We've been very lucky to have a lot of writers who have time on their hand, and he put together his list of his top 10 favorite episodes of The Twilight Zone, and who among us does not feel like we are in The Twilight Zone right now? Again, we had to cut to fit because, limited space in the paper right now, but do go online to tricornernews.com, our newly repaired website, and you can not only read... you can also vote in the comments on what your favorite episodes are, and you can see what his honorable mentions are.
All right, and once again, Janet, explain what we talked about at the top, just about the distribution of the Lakeville Journal before we head out.
And that'll be for next week, yep. Where we are. This week, it's full distribution at all our outlets. Next week, for April 9th, we'll be doing subscriptions and then a major outlet in each town that we go to, rather than going to the many outlets. And we are in the process, actually, of speaking with those outlets we will not be going to. We did not increase the numbers of papers at those major outlets. We don't want to put a strain on them and their staff when they're already overstrained. And so we'll see how it goes next week, and we'll modify it as we must to meet our readers' needs. But remember, we're also at tricornernews.com.
All right, guys. We will ask you to be safe, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Be well, everybody.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. And if you missed any of it, it's going to be available on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on on-demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.